Hello, and welcome to another episode of An Anthology of Wonder. Here's a hypothetical situation. One country, let's call it a bear country, invades another country that we'll call honey badger country. There's been, let's say, some tension between bear and honey badger for a while, and maybe some incompetent diplomats and insulting nicknames have heightened that tension. But there's no real reason for bear to invade. They just want money and power. So who's in the right in this situation? And then now let's expand this. Let's say that bear country makes sure to minimize collateral damage, even giving up a few really good opportunities because civilians would get hurt. They take prisoners and interrogate them, but they don't torture nor threaten to. They facilitate prisoner exchanges, and after the war, they plan to release the prisoners and generally repair amnesty without taking revenge. And let's say that Honey Badger Country doesn't do these things. They bomb major cultural sites like monuments or places of worship and attack civilian areas. They torture prisoners and keep them in inhumane conditions. And after the war is over, Honey Badger Country allows and encourages retribution. So, who's in the right in this situation? Most people, including me, would say both of them, but in vastly different ways. And yeah, surprise, surprise, all of this has been a prelude to talk about something called just war theory. And in my opinion, it can be applied to pretty much every area of life where two people or two groups of people are opposed to each other. The reasonings of this theory or doctrine is that while humankind seems unlikely to stop war just cold turkey, we can at least try to be more ethical in our wars. So there are two parts of just war theory that explain why the difference in the kind of wrongs that Honey Bear Country commits and that Bear Country commits. So the first is jus ad bellum, which has to do with justification for why you go to war in the first place. This is what Bear Country got wrong and what Honey Bear Country got right. So war, according to jus ad bellum, should be undertaken as a last resort in defense of self or other and in a case where fighting would be likely to result in more lives saved than surrendering would. So if you are a very small country that is being taken over by a very large country, and the country says, if you just go ahead and surrender right now, we'll treat you humanely, but if you make us go to war with you, we'll decimate you and kill everyone. That would not be good enough for going to war. It would be better in that case to surrender and go and just have more lives saved that way. But if that big country tells a little country, either way, I'm going to decimate you, then it would probably be a little bit better for the small country to go to war. And the second part, which is what Honey Badger got wrong, is called jus in bello, which is the actions undertaken in the war itself. So you're not supposed to attack civilians or to mistreat prisoners or wounded people because they're not a threat anymore. And an action against them would be from revenge or sadism rather than self-defense. The theory does actually allow civilian harm as long as it's small in relation to the military gain. So maybe bombing a place, a market, say, that the president of a country you're in war with happens to frequent because you know that the leader is there and you'll have some civilian casualties, but the military gain will be greater. And, that might be you know, it might be debated. I'm not sure if I would consider that okay, but that's just the mainstream theory. And of course, no warfare means and methods that are considered evil. So no unnecessary killings, no like capturing of families, no attacking civilians, that kind of thing. Generally, just do your wars with respect to people and hoping for the minimum casualties of civilians and of soldiers. Recently, a third dimension to this theory has emerged, the idea of jus postbellum, or actions taken after the war being justified, including the reason you end the war in the first place. According to jus postbellum, you should end the war only if your goal has been reached, or if your goal will never be reached. And, of course, no revenge, and you have to investigate war crimes committed, including war crimes that have been committed by your own side. So that's the basic outline of just war theory as it stands today. But actually, something interesting is that in history, there have been a lot of versions of this, or a lot of versions of people trying to justify and regulate war to make it morally excusable. So ancient Egyptians had a pretty simplistic view of this. Basically, they believed that the pharaoh, their ruler, was descended from God and had a godlike status. And so if he decided that a war was good, it was good. In China, some scholars believed that war was bad and generally something to be avoided, but they tended to say that the emperor's decisions just can't be challenged because, again, they had a lot of respect for their rulers. In India, you have the closest thing, I think, to what we have now. So some regulation of who can attack who, like whether horsemen can attack foot soldiers or whether you can attack civilians, what weapons you can use, the reasons for going to war in the first place, and treatments of captives and wounded. So I think that's really interesting. Ancient Greece and Rome had some regulation, and the actual history of this theory is that it grew out of Christian theology. So Christianity, it came from people trying to decide, when is war justified? When is it okay? And St. Augustine, the famous Christian saint, put forth the idea that in some cases, to avoid war and be peaceful would be a sin, like if it let innocents die unnecessarily when you could easily save them. And so generally that idea kept growing and being elaborated on through the centuries, and it grew into what we have today for just war theory. So this is a really interesting theory, and it will definitely, if you happen to be studying wars, you might see how this has been applied and how this has been used. But hopefully none of us are going to be commanding armies or leading charges or in any attack at all. Hopefully we're going to have peace. It might seem some days like a very idealistic hope, a little bit naive, but hopefully we're going to have peace. And I think that aside from actual wars, the underlying ideas of being able to have a conflict without having it be below the belt, I guess, in an honorable way, being able to have arguments and conflicts and debates without losing that human dignity and that basic respect, I think that's important. And I think that we can take some of these principles and ideas and use them in our day-to-day life. Like the idea of having a good reason for having a bad opinion of someone, having to justify to yourself, this is the reason that I don't like this person or that I don't deal with this person, and it has to be a good reason. And also in our dealings with people, even if it is an open conflict where it's acknowledged that you are against another person, not using tactics that are below the belt, so to speak, or completely off the topic. For example, if you're a scholar, let's just say, who has a big rivalry with another scholar, not bringing up some personal troubles in the other person's life that's unrelated to their work. That would be an example of a respect you could show someone. And then also having respect after the conflict has been decided or smoothed over or come to some side of conclusion. Being able to deal with that person again, if you need to, with calmness and a little bit of grace even. I think that it's important, and I think that, I guess I agree with just war theory, that humanity isn't going to turn into some utopian society where everyone loves each other and is nice and there's no such thing as conflict. It's just very unlikely that that's ever going to happen. But I think that in the meantime, we can try to treat each other with respect and acknowledge that just because we have a conflict with someone, we don't need to stop treating them like a person. Our word for today, or for this week, is circumnavigate. It's a very nice word. I really like it. It's very blue and yellow, and it kind of paints a picture in my mind of like Starry Night. Goodbye, y'all, and I hope you have a good week.